It is 4th of April 1986, and I'm sitting together with Helen and Francis Johnson in Moline, Illinois. And you are what we call half Swedish and half English.
Francis used to say, we're 50% Swedish, 50% English, but 100% American.
That's it. That's the way it turned out. Now, you were born here, right in this, not in this house, but on this property.
Right.
On this property. But Dad was a carpenter, and he drew his own plans. When he got four children, he drew his own plans for this house, and then he moved the smaller house back on the lot. And then later on, that was torn down.
They lived there while they were building this.
Oh, so you don't remember because it was...
Oh, yes, I remember because this was built about 1915.
1915.
Uh-huh. And I was born in 1903.
Mm-hmm. So you were running around and in the rafters and...
We climbed the roof. I did arithmetic sitting on the top beam of the house. And the stairway, you know, goes up from the basement to the attic. So that was four flights. And we'd climb up there with it all open. It's a wonder we didn't fall and kill ourselves. Well,
and your only brother Clifford, he was only a few 7 years old then, so he was much smaller. He couldn't climb.
I was 5 years and 4 months when he was born, and that made four children for mother, and she didn't have the conveniences that she had later on, you know.
It wasn't quite 2 years between any of us.
So it was not easy until...
No. And yet she lived to be almost 90, and Dad lived to be 91.
Oh, I see. So
and they both worked hard all their lives and were alert.
No smoking, no drinking.
No. And our two brothers died.
Dad chewed snuff, but very little.
Well, he did that. Somebody, you remember that when he used the...
Yes, somebody at work,
he took it
on
the nose or he...
No, he chewed it. He put it under his tongue, I think.
I see.
But he wasn't addicted to anything, and
no.
Neither was mother. That's why we had a happy childhood, until many kids don't today. Isn't it pitiful?
So you remember them as good parents? Huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I remember how at Christmas one time, of course, when we believed in Santa Claus, and we were still in the old house then, and they... we were going over to my uncle's in Devonport. This one, that was his older brother.
Mons.
Uh-huh.
Did you call him?
No, we called him Will. He changed his name to William.
Oh, William.
I don't know why.
Maybe that was his middle name. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it was more American than Mons, anyway.
So you went over there to his house for...
For Christmas. Well, they came here 1 year and we'd go there.
We'd alternate
Thanksgiving and alternate Christmas. Oh. We'd go to one house Thanksgiving, the other one Christmas.
And Uncle William, he was married to Matilda.
Yeah, she was German.
Oh, German.
She was German. Mm-hmm. But she and Dad could talk Swedish to each other, and they could understand each other. And they'd tease Mother sometime because she couldn't understand it. And Mother wanted Dad to teach us some Swedish. I've always been interested in languages, and even when I was little, I learned to count in different ones, and he taught me to count and things, and say a few things like toxomeka and so forth. But he said, what does she want to learn English for?
Swedish, you mean?
Swedish. Well, we're in America now, and Mother couldn't do it. Now, we had a lot of Swedish friends whose both parents were Swedish, and they learned Swedish, but we never did, but we learned. We took Latin and French and German and things in Spanish.
And Uncle Perry's children, where is he? Over here someplace. Both parents were Swedish.
Mm-hmm.
And so those children learned Swedish.
Mm-hmm.
Were they also here in the...
Yeah, now the three boys came to this country. He came after Dad. He came first, and he came next, and he came last.
So
that's the order there.
And the girls stayed over there. This youngest one is this
Tilda.
Well, she's but her name was what? Edith. Edith. I don't know how she got
Tilda.
That name. Yeah, but that must have been a Swedish name. But
oh,
Edith
yes,
was
yes.
too.
Her name was Edith.
And she came. She
well,
was
she
the
came
youngest.
Over here also.
And she came over, and you know, in those days, the girls took housework to learn the language and everything. Mm-hmm. And she worked for a wealthy family in New York. And they were
Catholic.
And she fell in love with a son. we think.
Of the family.
Of the family, uh-huh. And of course, being Catholic and they being wealthy and she was the servant, why, nothing could come of it. So she joined the Catholic Church and went into a convent. And she was in Spark Hill, New York, at a Dominican convent. And we visited her several times there and took Dad.
And she visited us here.
And she visited us. Even when she was a nun, she could come and visit her. But when she first started coming, she had to stay down at the cathedral, the Catholic, where they had the nuns. She could come in the day. We'd go down and get her and bring her up and then take her back at night. She couldn't sleep here. But then later on, when she was older, she could sleep here.
Mm-hmm. So she was a younger girl then when
She was the youngest, and she came when she was young.
Uh huh. And she's
because she wanted to come to this country, so Dad sent her money mm-hmm. to come.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but she stayed in New York then too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She never mm-hmm. reached Moline.
No,
but she came
just
to visit us.
To visit it only. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if we start now with Bill here, or Måns, as he was uh-huh. born in Sweden. He was born 1865. He came first to Moline.
Mm-hmm. No. To Devonport, I think.
Devonport.
Or Eldridge, someplace in there.
Do you have an idea the reason why he came?
Just to better himself. He thought it was more opportunity.
So he came alone then. Mm-hmm. He had no mm-hmm. other mm-hmm. other people with him. Mm-hmm. And then he, what kind of work was he doing then at first?
And then he was doing building. I don't know what.
Well, he was a carpenter.
He was a carpenter. And Dad, as Francis said, this one, Aunt Edith, said that she told us that Dad was the smartest one in the family, and he was given scholarships to go into town
in Sweden
to what would be our high school
mm-hmm. in Sweden.
Yeah. So when he finished that at 17, he thought he'd come to this country then and establish himself and make a name. I mean, make a living.
So he wrote to his
brother. He sent him money to
for
come
the ticket.
Mm-hmm. And that's how he got here. And he worked on a farm between Monmouth and Galesburg and learned the language and studied hard and saved. He was very thrifty and hardworking. And then...
How come he come down to Monmouth? Why didn't he stay up here with...
I really don't know.
How many years... Mm-hmm. How old was he when he came down? 22?
17.
17?
Uh-huh. And he worked there and saved money. Then when he was about 21... or 22, he went back to Sweden to visit on his own. He'd saved plenty of money.
So he
saved
up?
Yeah, he saved money.
Did he work for American farmers?
Yeah.
Or
mm-hmm.
American, no mm-hmm. Swedes?
I don't know about that. Do you?
I don't know this Frank Johnson that was with him. He was a Johnson too, so he probably Swedish.
Well, the people he worked for, I don't know.
What year did he come over in approximately?
He went back in 93. Because he stopped at the World's Fair in New York when he went back to visit Sweden.
And so it would be, five years before that.
If he came at 17, he was born in 71,
81, mm-hmm. 89, 88. Or 88. It'd be 88.
We have his naturalization papers.
So he came 88?
In 88, I guess.
In 88,
mm-hmm.
then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At age 17, I guess that would be.
And do you know the parish or the place he came from in Sweden?
Yes, Hässleholm.
Hässleholm. Hmm.
Because when we were over there visiting, they took us out to the farm where they were raised. It doesn't belong to the family now. This Anna,
yes.
this woman and her husband lived on that farm. They had seven children, and they lived on that farm. Until I don't know when, but anyway, it was sold then. So one of the younger generations that could speak English took us out there, and we drove into the farmyard. And I remember Dad telling tales about how they had to learn the catechism on Sunday afternoon, and their parents would go for a walk, and they would be around a big dining room table working at their catechism, and then the parents would go and they'd watch till the parents went over the hill. And then they all ran outside and played. And then when it was about time for them to be coming back, they'd run in and get out their books again. So I saw
like
that. And I could look out the window and I saw that hill, you know, and it was a wonderful experience for us to see that.
We went there in 1970.
Mm-hmm. And this woman, then this younger one, said, I'll go and knock at the door so she won't, she'll wonder what this car's doing in here. And we're looking around, and she and he told her that we were daughters of a boy, a man who was raised there. And she invited us in and showed us all. She had a bathroom, of course, now. And, of course, when the dad lived there, they didn't have a bathroom. She was real proud of that. And it was a real nice little house. And that's when I looked out the window and saw the garden, you know, the flowers, and then the road going down the hill. And then we went to the church where he was confirmed. And his parents are buried in the cemetery there. And the school, too, where he was. They don't tear things down the way we do. They had new additions to the school, but the addition was still there.
So he took an initial love, when he came to this country, then your father. There was one more Nels Johnson than around here?
Oh, yeah, there were several.
So he took the initial O.
Oh, because there was no O, and that's an unusual name.
That was an uncommon letter.
Yeah, but they're Swedish Olaf and Oscar.
I know.
But in this case, it didn't stand for anything.
No.
Just to pray.
That's right.
To make sure the mail arrived properly.
One
place.
Of our realtor here was N.O.W. Johnson.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He was no assurance.
So there was an experience for you then to stand or walking the same ground as your father once had.
Wonderful.
Uncles, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, he died in 62, mm-hmm. and he never got a chance to go back to Sweden at any time.
No, he
not
wanted to go,
married.
And then...
93 he went back.
No, yes, but he wasn't married then. No. He was married in 1902. And then he wanted to go back, and we were going to take him when we were grown up, but the war interfered, you know. The Depression came when we were able to, when we were on our own earning money. Why, then he... the Depression came, and then the war, and it wasn't feasible to go traveling. And then after things got better again, why, he was pretty old, and we didn't want to be responsible for taking him. And he was getting so hard of hearing, and we thought it might be a disappointment to him. And we didn't want to leave Mother either, because she was elderly, and so he didn't get there. But before Mother died, she said, you must go and visit your Swedish relatives. And so we did in 1970.
Did you also go to England at that time to see
No, we had been in England. We've been in England since. But it's hard to trace anything there because all their family came over here.
Mm-hmm. She was so young, though, so she didn't feel going back
either. No.
We had an aunt, though, down in Monmouth that lived to be 93. And she'd tell us tales, but I don't know. I don't know what.
Well, he wouldn't be interested in that.
Not too much.
No, you wouldn't be interested in that side, because that's the English side.
Mm-hmm. So she is.
But Dad.
Is she still living?
No.
No, she died at 93. She was our great aunt.
Oh, I see.
So when we're in our 80s, she couldn't be living yet.
No, that was impossible.
Unless some people do live.
Yeah, you never know. So. Bill then and Nels, they came to the United States, mm-hmm.
And that's these are the two families we were closest to. I mean this one.
Huh?
Now these people lived in Monmouth, and we'd go and visit them.
Per.
But
he came after your father.
And he was, his name was Perry, Uncle Perry.
What was he doing down in Monmouth? The farmer, or
what was he doing? No, they lived in town. I don't think it was any great job.
I don't
job,
think he but, had any profession.
No, I don't think he did either.
And how about Elna?
And Elna, yeah. Now,
she stayed in Sweden.
Did she? Yeah, she died.
She died young.
1915, uh-huh.
She died young.
But now where did... Oh, Edith was the one of her daughters that we saw there, wasn't
in
it?
In Sweden.
Yeah.
In other words, she didn't come over to the United States then?
No. None of the girls did except this youngest one who didn't marry.
Mm-hmm.
And one of these died.
Maria.
She was sort of an evangelist. She was next to the youngest. I think she probably died of cancer. I don't know. We never knew exactly. Mm-hmm. But she was kind of a preacher. And Anna is the one that we've kept in touch with. Now, Bertel is here someplace.
They had seven kids, you said?
Yeah. And maybe Bertel's in this generation.
Now, they have visited us twice.
Yeah, because...
And Ellen came with them this last time.
Oh, yes.
Just a year ago.
Uh-huh. Ellen Dishman?
Ellen and And Marie, they never married, and they were nurses in Sweden. And she was head of the children's ward, I believe.
So they have taken a new name then?
Yes, and they were supposed to be Olsen, and some of them kept Olsen, and some of them took Disman, and I don't know where they got Disman. But these were all...
Now, Joseph came to this country too and worked in this country about 5 years.
Yeah, during the
1930s. And he married his girlfriend there in Sweden, and then they never came back.
But he came over, and this one that was working in this convent, she was teaching art and printing and things like that in the convent. She was kind of talented in crafts and design, you know, art. And she got him... He wanted to come, and she got him a job in the bakery there. Mm-hmm. So he learned the bakery. And then he went back and stayed in and married his girlfriend there and had these four children. We met all them and their children. And he, of course, could speak English then, but he hasn't used it much since. But since he's learned that bakery trade, he has all kinds of bakeries in, that was in Katrineholm, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Katrineholm. And... he has the conditories, or what do we call them?
Yeah, conditori.
And they have...
Conditories, they call it?
Conditori.
Conditori. And they have a place for you to eat, you know. And then they have these big walk-in freezers where they have all kinds of torts. And when we were over there in 1970, they all met, all the relatives that were there, met in Hesselholm at one of these places, Ruth and Sven. We met there, and some of us ate out in the yard and some in the house, and there were 24 of us there. And he brought a lot of food for me. He brought beautiful torts, you know, for the main meal and desserts and things. And we had a big spread there for 24 people. And that was wonderful.
And they took it to a smorgasbord one time.
Well, we were there over the weekend. And then Joseph, he had the most money because he had all these conditories, you know.
Even concessions in hospitals.
Yeah. Oh, and he took us around and showed us all those. And then he took 16 of us. I don't know, some of them didn't want to go. He was pretty old. But three carloads went about 50 miles to a resort where they had a wonderful smorgasbord, and we did that on Saturday, I think. and then a table of desserts beside.
So you have the context then with the people.
Yeah, and this Bertel.
When Dad died, you see, the younger people kept on writing Christmas notes to Dad after the older people died. And when Dad died, we sent clippings from the paper and said we did not want to lose contact with our Swedish relatives. And so from then on, the younger generation kept it. Mm-hmm.
So you write in English to them, and they write back to you in English also?
Well, Bertel, this one Bertel does. He was born in 1938.
Yes.
And they've been over here twice. They were over here in 1980, mm-hmm. when I was still in Colorado Springs, and they did the West. They had friends from Sweden who were on the West Coast too, and they wanted to see the whole West. And they did as much as they could in 3 or 4 weeks. 4 weeks, I don't know what it was. And they stopped in Colorado Springs and stayed with me a few days, about 4 or 5 days, and I showed them all around there.
And took them to the top Pikes Peak.
Yeah, and all that sort of thing. And then they came here, and Francis had these relatives from Uncle Perry, Estrid and Alvin,
yeah.
And they came up.
And I told them to come. I said, the Swedish relatives, because they never kept in touch with them. And I said, our Swedish relatives are coming, and so you come and stay here while they are here. So they did, and we had the most wonderful time.
And then they got to meet all the rest of our family, you see, all these children. Because they had a cookout at Kathleen's, and they got to see, you know, see there all those families. And, you spoke about the childhood. I never considered my father very sentimental. But I was thinking about things, and he wasn't effusive with his sentiment, but he had it because we had a wicker baby buggy, and it was in the attic. And, originally it had one of those parasols, you know, and you could wheel it. Well, first they wheeled me in it. They'd go out every Sunday afternoon for a walk, and they'd wheel me in. Then pretty soon I was a toddler and she was in the buggy. Pretty soon Cecil was a toddler and we were, in the buggy. And then Clifford. And they had five stair steps. And the oldest one, when Clifford was a baby, wasn't even six yet. I wasn't.
Five so stair you steps, what are you thinking about?
What?
Four. Four children.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, that baby buggy was in the attic, and we decided we'd throw it out. And it was put out in the alley for the trash. And Dad saw it out there, and if he didn't come bringing it in. And Mother said, what are you bringing? And he said, oh, we wheeled all four children in this. We can't throw it away.
And it's still in the attic.
Is that right?
Although it's been remodeled, so it wouldn't be an antique, because we remodeled it for a girl who was ill and had to have a wheelchair, and they fixed it over for him.
So I don't think even our historical society would want it, but I thought before we throw it out, we'd find out.
Mm-hmm. But and then another thing, they'd color Easter eggs for him, and he'd do that, along with Mother. And then I started to tell about this Christmas. We were going over here to Devonport to my uncle's. And to get four children with their Christmas things in the morning and get them ready to go over there for dinner, why, it was too much for Mother, all these little ones. So she said, she asked Santa if he would come the night before, Christmas Eve. And he said, yes, but we couldn't see him. Dad didn't have a Santa Claus suit, you see. So we couldn't see him. But if we'd stay in another room, he'd come in and bring them to the Christmas tree. And so we stayed away, and we heard the bells jingle. He had some bells. We heard the jingle of the bells, and heard them let him in. And Mother was with us, I guess, back there or something. Anyway, out in the kitchen, they let him into the living room, and they brought all the presents down from upstairs and got it all ready. And then we heard the jingle bells and them bidding goodbye. Then we could go in.
Was that Christmas Eve?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because. Mm-hmm. Because we were going to Devonport the next day, and it was too much trouble to get everybody ready.
Because you know how children are, when they get their Christmas things, they want to play with them and everything. and he did. Oh, and one time before this was all built up, before that, when they bought the property, Mother said it was just a cornfield across there, and there were only two houses here. And then there was a pasture and woods.
14th Street with a dead end. Mm-hmm. It was all pasture land out there. Mm-hmm.
And our house was a little one like some of these along here. It was a story and a half with only two bedrooms. Well, after he got four children, he needed more bedrooms, you see. One bedroom was big, and we had that for sort of a nursery for a while. And then when we girls got a little older, they felt they needed more room. So we did. But oh, when we were little, the two boys were in one double bed, and we two girls were in another one, and we'd tell... We'd start stories, make them up, and then we'd end and somebody else had to go on. And then the boys would play tricks on us and things, and it was...
Preparation for Christmas now. How about the Christmas tree? When did Dad bring the Christmas tree into the house?
Well, he'd bring that in before so they could get that decorated. Santa Claus didn't bring that.
No, how long before?
Oh, about the day or two before. Because it was a real Christmas tree. It wasn't artificial in those days.
Was it a spruce or a fir or... Was it a spruce? With short needles?
Fir, it doesn't have prickly needles like spruce. The fir has softer needles.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then you had...
And we had candles on it.
Live candles.
Yes. The little candle holders clipped on and candles. But look what a fire hazard. But nothing ever happened.
Was it lighted then?
We light them for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
But not mm-hmm. otherwise. We wouldn't
No.
keep it.
Well, no. We wouldn't leave them on if we weren't in there.
Do you had a pail of water in the room? You remember that? In case of fire, or
I don't know.
I don't remember. I know later when we grew up, Dad always had a can of water that he put it in. Uh huh. And then another time, I was telling about this cornfield. Well, then when a few houses got here, and the paved sidewalks got in, and they began building, there were a few houses. But from here on to that next corner, it was pretty open, and there was a pathway, and we'd play over there, and I could see Dad coming. He rode a bicycle always to work. And or walked if it were close. And so we saw him coming down that, what is 15th Street now, and so we would run to meet him, some of us, and I think there were only about two of us, maybe the boys were playing someplace else. We ran down there, and he was pulling a beautiful bright red wagon with two little children in, and we thought that it was their wagon. He was just pulling him, as far as he went. But when we got up to him, he said to him, these are my children, so I guess you'll have to get out now. And here that was for us, and it wasn't Christmas or Easter or anybody's birthday.
It was a big present.
That was a big present in those
days.
Did any
of you have a birthday then? Or
No, it was just spring.
Just in between.
Yeah. And so he brought us home. So he was, and then I remember when I was real little, I can remember when he'd build a box on a sled so that he could put little babies, you know, little children. And when I was just not more than three, and Francis was a tiny baby, why, he'd put us, we'd bundle up and we'd sit
here. I was only 23 months younger than you,
yeah.
So I was over a year old.
He was a year, she was a year old. Mother'd bundle us up, you know, with scarves over our noses too, and then he'd haul us in that sled. So he was really good to his children.
Christmas presents now, what did you get now from Santa Claus, or what did you bring?
Oh, we'd get, when we were little, we got dolls, and I was always interested in books, and I always wanted books, even when I was pretty little. And so I'd get books, but I'd get dolls as long as I wanted.
So they was wrapped up then with...
The dolls would be sitting under the tree.
Well, no wrapping around?
No, not on the dolls.
Oh, I see. And the
toys, and the boys also always wanted horses and wagons, but not, sometimes they were attached, and they always told Santa Claus wanted not a horse that was attached to the wagon. They wanted one they could pull out and put in a barn.
Oh, I see.
Unharness it.
They knew that.
And
who
then,
gave them the idea?
I don't know. They always wanted horses, and they wanted, you know, they had puzzles in the paper with seven ponies, and if you drew three lines and put each pony in a separate one, why, you'd get a pony or something. And Mother said, that's not true, there'll be a catch to it, you know. But they wanted to do that. Well, where would we keep a pony anyway? They brought home stray dogs, and we had rabbits once, and they even had a bantam chicken once, and I don't know, we had that sort of thing.
Rabbits.
Out at the back. And that was before this house was built.
Even when they got a little older, we didn't know when we could find a dog in the basement. They brought home some stray dog.
And
I don't suppose you're interested in all this stuff.
Yes, that's
yes,
what
this
said.
Is interesting because uh-huh. That gives an idea. You know how you
well,
how
and
you
we
plan
never...
things. How about now Christmas decorating the tree? Who did that? Your mother?
Well, when we were little,
the parents did.
As we got a little older,
but
we would help.
But you were watching them doing it.
Mm-hmm,
did
mm-hmm.
Dad help out to do it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What did they put into the tree?
Oh, we had all kinds of ornaments. And I wish we'd saved them because they'd be antiques now. And then sometimes we'd make paper chains out of colored paper and trim them with that. And cranberries and popcorn you strung,
Mother told you how to do that then?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So she brought, what did she bring in now to the family from the English side of customs of England?
Christmas, plum pudding. But sometimes she'd make lutefisk for Dad, you
well,
know.
She did.
Yeah, because somebody told her how to fix it. So she fixed that for him, and then we always had English plum pudding.
What did she think about that dish?
Didn't care for it.
She didn't care for
no.
it?
No. Uh-uh.
But she prepared it for him.
Mm-hmm.
How about you now then?
Oh, I like anything. I try any nationality food.
To please your father.
Yeah.
When we travel in foreign countries, we'd always try the native food because what's the use of going someplace and then want all your American food again?
Well, and then too, I think I inherited Dad's adventurous spirit more than Francis, because I wanted to go to the University of Michigan instead of staying at Augie and finish. And so I taught between my second and third year of college, earned enough money for 1 year, and then I borrowed from Dad for the next year, and then I paid him back because I didn't think it was fair for me to take it when he had three younger children. So I paid him back without interest. And then, and you know, he didn't make much money because when we were looking through some of the things that were in the attic, some of his account books, around 1908 and 9 and 10, why, he wasn't making more than $1,000 a year.
Was he a contractor then, building houses?
Well, not too much. He worked usually for another contractor.
Mm-hmm. But he did draw his own plans.
But he did this house.
And he did most of the work.
The finishing, because he was an excellent cabinet maker. Everybody wanted him to do the finishing, mm-hmm. the cabinet work. And but you see, they didn't go and he paid cash for the property when he bought it, because he saved up enough money that till he was 31, you know, when he was married. And they rented in Rock Island for 6 months. And then they bought this house I mean the little house that was here. And then I was born here, and all the rest of them too, because they didn't go to the hospital then to be born.
They were in the home.
Yeah, we were all born in the old
house.
You
had midwives then coming in?
No, we had a doctor who was a baby doctor, a general family doctor. He did everything.
Was it Dr. Arp?
No, no, he was Dr. Beale.
Beale.
But he's been gone a long time.
Beale.
I don't know.
B-E-A-L-E, I think.
Sounds like a German doctor. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So he came to the house then?
Yes. And when we had measles and chicken pox, see, I'd go to school and get the disease and bring them home to the rest of them.
He came in horse and buggy then?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose.
In the early years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, her heart...
This is Side 2, the continuation with Helen and Francis Johnson, born in Illinois. Side 2. Mm-hmm. So there was a Christensen's
store. And they had, and then there was a meat market. The grocery stores didn't handle meat then. And they delivered, a man would come around, we didn't have a telephone then, and they'd come around once a week and take orders. And then they'd deliver it. And they knew their families, you know, and they would tell them if mother wanted something, well, that isn't very good today, but we have something else that's good in fresh vegetables, you know, they were always honest and told her even over the, you know, when you ordered like that, what was the best, so you didn't have to go. And then we'd go, and then we children would go up and get little things in between that she wanted. Well, we'd charge it, and then on Saturday night, Dad would go and pay the bill. And they'd always give you a bag of candy when you paid the bill.
So every week the bill was paid then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in the winter, in those days, you see, lots of times carpenters didn't work in the winter because they didn't have inside work. They couldn't work outside. And so then he wouldn't be working. And he might run the bill for several weeks. But they trusted him, you know, and then they'd pay. And we always thought that bag of candy that he gave him when he paid the bill was wonderful, you know. And then they went to we'd go to the meat market, and in those days, Mother said, when they were first married, without any children, she could get a little roast for 25 cents that would do them for two meals. Imagine. And I remember going to the store for 25 cents worth of steak for our family of six.
Did you have any?
So you see, even $1,000 a year would go a lot farther, and he owned his own property, and he had a big garden, and Mother would can, not freeze in those days, but can, so they worked hard, and they had a good life, and we didn't have to have entertainment because the neighbors would get together in the evenings, and the children would play, and the adults would.
And Dad
talk.
Had a pool table. They put mm-hmm. it up here in the dining room. All the men from the neighborhood then would play pool, and we'd probably sit under the knee
and hear the balls going on.
Oh, I see.
Children
so
liked
the pool table then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't they kind of unusual, or
well, as I say, he was thrifty and he saved and he got this, and it provided entertainment for all the all his
friends. Do you
think
there was an English idea from your mother's side? I mean,
I don't know.
How about other families that you went to? Did they also have pool tables?
No. No, they came here.
I see. Uh-huh. So there was the gathering place here. Uh-huh.
And I know we girls learned to dance. We didn't have wall-to-wall carpeting then. And we could roll up the rugs and see this. And these were wax floors. And we had Victrola. And some of our older friends, who were 2 or 3 years older and had learned to dance, came here and they taught us to dance. And so we could dance
so
at the
parties.
So
your parents danced too then?
No, Mother danced, but Dad didn't.
She didn't.
And no, when they were dating down near Monmouth, you know, they'd go to these country dances, and Dad would take Mother and sit on the side. He never danced. He'd sit on the sidelines and watch her dance with the other fellows.
He took a lot of chances then. You have to tell me now what happened in Monmouth.
Yes,
paper.
And he wanted to marry her when they were 22 and 27.
He was still living down in
Monmouth.
Monmouth.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also down there.
Yes. And she thought she was in love with another man. He was a handsome, you know, dashing person. But then she found out that he liked to gamble too much.
Your father?
No,
the
other guy.
The other man.
And so anyway, when she refused him, he came up and worked with his uncle, or his brother, our uncle in Devonport. And but he took the Monmouth paper to see if she ever married the other guy. And he never found that she did.
He played it safe.
So then he began, after about 3 years, corresponding and pursuing her again. Well, then at Christmas time, he gave her a beautiful watch. It's just beautiful. We have it too. Well, he's not interested in seeing that, but it is beautiful. And her foster mother said to another man that she wanted him near married because he was quite wealthy. He had a lot of farmland, but mother didn't like him. He was quite a bit older, and he was, you know, not the type she liked. And so she said to this man, I've heard all this through other, you know.
Her mother. So.
Her foster mother said to this other man, well, I guess it's no use, she said, because she wouldn't accept a valuable gift like that if she wasn't serious. So they were married the next April.
So there was
and then they came up to Rock Island and boarded and roomed and board for a couple of weeks till the house next there was vacant, and then they rented that for 6 months. And then this house was up for an auction.
Not this house.
I mean, you know, the property. And so he got that real reasonable. I think for around $700 then, but it was, it needed a lot of repair, you know, but he could do it, and because he learned the carpenter trade. And
so she came up then from Monmouth?
Yeah, they were married in Monmouth.
By whom?
I don't know, they were married at Perry's house. They were married at his brother's house.
By a minister?
Here. By a minister.
Uh-huh. For what church then, the denomination, or did he belong to a church down there?
Well, now, Mother's family was Episcopalian in England, and then when she was adopted down there, I think she was a Baptist because she had to be immersed in a stream, and a lot of people got cold. It was winter, and caught cold. But that was Baptist, and Dad was confirmed in the Lutheran Church in England. Well,
in
then
Sweden.
when they
Sweden.
Moved here, yeah. In Sweden, when they moved here, why the Methodists. It was called the Second Methodist then. It became the Wesley Methodist later. It was a little frame church up on 23rd and 4th Avenue. And we didn't, of course, have a car then or a horse and buggy or anything. By the way, when Dad was courting Mother, he had a buggy and a horse.
To go down to Monmouth with?
No, that was when they were courting down in Monmouth.
But when he was in Devonport, there was a long lapse of time before they could see each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was only through the paper he knew what happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. About 4 years.
That's a long time, though, I mean, to wait for somebody.
Well, maybe 3 years till they started corresponding again.
So there was no way you could take the train down once in a while.
Yeah, because I know we went down to see our grandparents, our foster grandparents down there by train once when I was just real little. And I had a wild imagination, and it wound around and around and around, and I thought, I didn't know the world was so big. And when people said it was round, I thought it was round like a ball, and half of it filled in with earth, and then the sky was the dome out. Well, there were always trees on the horizon. I wanted to go and touch it, but I thought God planted all those trees and bushes so you couldn't get through to touch the sky. So I thought that train just wound around to make you think you were going a long distance. Because I would hear a train whistle sometime out here when there wasn't so much other traffic and things, you could hear it. And I thought, that train is going to Monmouth, and it's just winding around to make you think you're going farther.
Hey, you don't remember that train, right?
I don't remember as much as she does. Of course, she was smarter than I was. She was a valedictorian of her high school class, and I was.
She picked up everything.
And these kids are all smart. All our grandchildren are smart.
But now, your dad courted your mother then with the horse and buggy.
Mm-hmm. And he'd shine that buggy just the way the young people shine their cars today.
And he had a big bear lap robe. I still remember that.
And he told me one time, he said, well, a horse was much better than going in a car. Because he said you could have your arm around the girl and the horse would know the way home.
He preferred that way.
And Dad had a subtle wit. He never laughed at his own jokes, but he always had a comeback, you know, and everybody liked that in him.
And Cecil kind of inherited
Yeah,
that.
He did, uh-huh. And
So your mother's parents now, there was stepfather and stepmother.
Yeah, because her father died in India.
In India.
and her mother.
When they opened railroads, you know. When
and he was sent from England then to be an engineer down there.
Yeah, and he couldn't stand the climate. And we have those letters he wrote on the book.
And he was only 41 when he died down there.
I don't know how old he was. His isn't down here, you see. No, that's our English side. Mm-hmm. But he went there. I think the letters are dated about 78 or 80, something.
And he died
like
of sunstroke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's buried in some place near Bombay.
So she came then to Monmouth.
And then she came 2 years later to Monmouth with her... My mother was seven, and she came with her mother and her grandmother. Her grandmother's husband also had died. And they had two sisters in Monmouth. And they thought that she could come here because my mother was very clever. I mean, my mother's mother was clever at sewing and thought she could make a living because they always hired dressmakers to come every spring to make their outfits, you know, in those days. So,
And she inherited that.
Well.
Oh, I see. So. And
well,
they stayed on there, and your mother's family stayed in Monmouth?
Yes.
Until they died.
And one of them from England was the Lord Mayor of what, Chatham? Or something like that. Anyway. That was a suburb of London. I don't know that was where she was born. And they were coming over here one time. Oh, you're not interested in the English side.
Well, but it's interesting to see what happened.
Uh-huh. And she thought, since they were kind of uppy-up, you know, that she wanted her husband to rent a bigger house and have some servants when they were here. He said, if they can't take what we have, they can just stay in England. And so then she told about how they had a 17-year-old boy, and there was a parents and the 17-year-old boy, and he put his shoes outside his bedroom door at night, and in the morning they weren't polished. By that time the mother was reconciled to not trying to put on the dog, and she said, if you want them shined, you'll have to shine them yourself.
Different ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But if we go back now to the marriage was between your father and mother.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Methodist minister then to marry them, you think? Or who was it in Monmouth?
It might have been a Baptist. I really don't know.
So when they came up
then here, the reason we're Methodist is because, as I said, we didn't have hardly anybody had cars then, and we didn't have a horse and buggy. Why, it was the closest one to walk to. So that's why we're Methodist.
It was up on 24th?
Yeah, it was only about three blocks from here.
And then they
four
built
blocks.
Here, just a block
mm-hmm.
from here.
So it was even closer then. So you
yeah.
went to Sunday school there and
mm-hmm.
and confirmed also in that church.
Mm-hmm.
Were they religious, your parents?
Well, Dad wasn't outwardly religious, but he knew the Bible because they had to study it when he was young. He knew more about the Bible than some of the people that are so religious today.
Despite horsing around them when the parents left, they still
yeah.
had the catechism.
Yeah.
We still have his Swedish Bible.
And
did he read all of it for you? Or
he did, and then he'd get even the English Bible out and read.
Mm-hmm.
But when he read the Swedish Bible, you couldn't understand.
Oh no. Oh, he didn't read to us in Swedish. No.
He
said to Mother,
to
when Mother wanted him to teach us Swedish, he said, what do they want to learn Swedish for?
So when they read to you, your parents, no, your mother took care of that because she knew the language, of course,
mm-hmm.
much better.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had, like your dad, no. Did he have any trouble with the English?
No. He spoke with a little accent, but I never noticed that when he got older.
I didn't notice
uh-uh.
much of an accent at all.
But
so he was young enough.
And Mother didn't have so much education, but because she was raised on the farm of these foster parents, and she went through the eighth grade and wanted so badly to go into high school. And they wouldn't let the mother wouldn't let her. I think she just adopted her, thought she'd be somebody to work for, you know. But the father would have. But the mother was kind of jealous of the father paying attention to the foster daughter, I think. That's what Mother thinks. Because she wasn't as kind as she was kind in some ways, but anyway, she didn't want, and she wanted music lessons so badly, and they had an organ, and so she played by ear, but they didn't give her music lessons, and they could have afforded it.
But she even played in the church.
Yeah,
by ear.
If sometimes the organist didn't come, and so she'd play the hymns by ear for them.
You mean up here in the...
No, down in Monmouth, when she was a girl, when she was growing up, I mean, you know, teenagers or in her 20s. And then I know Dad got a piano for her when I was about 3 years old, and that's why he built that narrow window up there for the piano to go under. That grand piano now is mine. And she would play that and play old hymns and other songs, you know, old-time songs. And I can remember as children how we, you know, in the twilight, maybe she'd be playing that and we'd sing. And
so she was interested.
So they
yeah,
were
she
talented.
Was interested in giving the children an education, you see. And so I started taking lessons when I was about five on the piano from a cousin, from another cousin of Dad's in Devonport.
Swedish.
And they were Swedish too. And she was musical and came over here to a music school one day a week to take advanced lessons. And also she'd teach me then because she'd eat lunch here and would teach me when I was home from kindergarten at noon. And then when I was seven, I began taking regular lessons then. But as I say, they didn't go and squander their money. And if they didn't have the money, they didn't buy it. Where today, they buy it and go into debt.
When did he buy his first car, your dad?
1923.
Mm-hmm. Before that, you took, there was no streetcar going
no.
into the
car. No, and Uncle Will would come over. They only had the one girl and
there
he
were
had...
There were streetcars.
And they had, yeah. And we'd have to take four streetcars to get over because they lived up near, what's Vanderveer Park? That's Central Park, isn't it now? They lived up in that area and had a nice house. And he'd come over and... And Dad would ride his bike. They had first a little car that they had. They could sit in the front, and then the daughter could sit in the back, something like a rumble seat. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So Francis and I would sit in that seat, and Mother and Uncle Will would drive, and Mother would sit here. One boy would sit between them, and the youngest would sit on a little stool at their feet. And Dad would ride his bicycle over there. Because Mother and I got car sick on the streetcars. And one time when
Even
we were...
short trips?
Yeah, because we had to take four different streetcars. One down the hill here, one over to Rock Island, one across the bridge, and one up the hill there to their house. And if we made...
With four kids.
Yeah, and if that's why she didn't want to... That's why she wanted Santa Claus that time to come in the evening. She had too much to do Sunday morning. And then...
So they was nervous then to go like four stops there and change
yeah.
the
Yeah, and if you didn't have enough time between, I mean, if the car you transferred to came pretty quickly, you didn't have time to get enough fresh air in your lungs. And so one time we were coming back and about First Street Moline, I said to Mother, I've got to get off. I could feel it coming, you know, nausea. And so she said, well, Dad, you take the rest of the children on and I'll get off with Helen and we'll walk clear from there, about 4th Street, I think it was, clear up to 15th Street to get the bus, or the streetcar. And so we walked, I heaved up, and she was glad because she was getting sick too. So we walked all that distance.
Why was that, you think? Was it shaking? And
yeah,
she
I don't know.
She never could
something. I never could even
no.
swing. Uh-uh. I couldn't, and I'd see all the other children and the parents at Sunday school picnics, they'd be swinging, neighborhood picnics, you know, they'd been swinging them out the park. And here I'd have to sit there and watch them when all the fathers would be swinging the children.
But now it doesn't affect you with
Oh,
body.
Yes. I can't even bend over and wash my hair. I have to wash it under a shower.
Joe, what would you take going to Colorado Springs, for instance, and going to Sweden?
I never have gotten plane sick.
No?
No, and not sick on a bus. Or I did get sick in an automobile one time when we were going up the coast in California.
And well, you know, wonder why.
And I said, I want to stay near the ocean. And it went like this and like this, you know. And finally I said, oh, let me out. I'm better if I sit in the back seat. No, the front seat,
front
I mean.
Seat.
Front seat. If I'm driving, it isn't so bad.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they also affected your mother a little bit then with the
mm-hmm.
streetcars.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she was all right.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know what you're talking
She's
about.
She's tough.
So the streetcar actually went up to 23rd Avenue then at that time?
It went clear out to Prospect Park. You know where that is.
Yes.
That's about six more blocks out there.
So
and so you could go, well, from 23rd to 29th or 30th or sometime. Anyway, it's about maybe seven or eight blocks. And and all this was woods back in there where all these new houses are, you know.
Back there.
Uh-huh. Across there and back where the ravines are. And we'd go out there and pick wildflowers, you know, and we had open space, you know. We didn't feel cluttered up like the kids.
Did you have chickens?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-hmm.
Just rabbits.
rabbit.
Well, that was because this uncle gave them a white rabbit for Easter once. And then he had a chance to get a black one that was beautiful fur. So he gave them that. And so we had them for a while. But they didn't, they were both females. But the white one had had a litter. And Dad wondered how that was. So Cecil, this brother, said, well, Emil, they were Belgians. And they had rabbits that they raised to eat, I think. And he said, Emil said, if we take our rabbit over and put it in their pen, maybe we'd get some little ones. So that's how we got our little ones. Oh, dear. Well, they let us have those things. And as I say, Dad did a lot of gardening, and Mother did a lot of canning. We had cherry trees, and later on we had some apple trees. And
plum tree.
Mm-hmm.
We had ones.
And then we had pear trees. Those were later on as we grew a little older. But when we were real little, we had cherries.
Were there mostly Swedish families around here then at that time?
Not entirely. Mm-mm. I don't know what Ballard's were and Thompson's. Thompson's were English, yeah, because she was a Trevor. They were English. And Trevor's English, I remember. And Ballard's, I don't know what they were. But they were the closest families to us.
So you were close together and you come over.
These three families were close. And they had two boys. They were older, a little older than we were. And the others had three boys, and they were a little older. But they, so I grew up a tomboy. They taught me how to spin tops and play marbles and fly kites, because I didn't have any little girls to
play.
How
about now roly-boly with the Belgians? Roly-boly.
Roly-poly, I don't know that.
Roly-boly, the Belgians play that, they throw a ball, like a bowling.
Bowling?
Yeah, it's like bowling.
Oh,
Have you never seen that?
Uh-uh.
No, they what the Belgians do.
Yeah.
Because the Swedes never caught on to that, but the Belgians have that.
Oh.
And you never heard of that then in your neighborhood? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. You didn't see the other kids playing?
No. Uh-uh.
How about pigeons, though?
Did they have pigeons? I don't remember any pigeons either.
No.
But the games we played, we'd play in the street. Because this was a dead end, and there was no traffic down here.
And there was no paved street then? There was
no
gravel.
And then the first paved street came up 15th, as far as 23rd Avenue. And I remember the fire trucks would practice coming up there and back, and we'd run to look at that. I remember one day we were ready to go to Sunday school, and we had embroidered dresses, you know, with this island embroidery. And I always had blue sash, I think, and you had pink sash and hair ribbon in those days. And we heard... No, that was a runaway horse, somebody said. And we ran out, and we had a fence in front, and then there was a gate, and I tore that island embroidery on the lace. And we were all ready to go, and Mother had to mend it because we were in the program over at Sunday school. But anyway.
So we were typical kids.
We didn't watch television, which was better. We'd play out of doors, and we played 10-step in the street. And somebody would... We'd call 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and turn around, and you could run as far as you could, but you had to stop. If they saw you move after they turned around, you had to go at the bend at back of the end of the line again. And the first one up there could be the one who called the next time. And then we'd play hide and seek, and I don't know, all kinds of games. We'd make up our own games. And then we'd sit on the porch steps when it got dark and tell stories and tell jokes and things. And that was a lot healthier than watching TV.
So how many kids were there? About 15, 20 in this neighborhood?
Well, in this immediate family, they lived there the longest we grew up together. That would be five boys and four. That would be nine. That would be nine. Well, then sometimes there were children next door, and sometimes there were children next to that.
Well, you never played to them?
We played once.
Elizabeth,
she was a Belgian, and she came along a little bit later, because I remember when they came here.
She's about Cecil's age.
Mm. Well, you didn't go too far away then to seek your friends?
They were right here. Then when we got in school, then of course we got friends a little farther away. And
but then you were all the playing game, so to speak, and we were up in high school. And
in high school we didn't do that
anymore.
Because
then you could have girlfriends all over town.
But one of the middle boy in the last house down there was so nice to me, and he must have been about 7 years older than I, because Merritt was 5 years old. And he would, 7 years older for a little tot. Why I would run to meet him, and he would take me. I always wanted to fly, And I had dreams that I could just float around the top of the trees. And it was such so much fun that when I went to sleep, I thought, I'll try to think of that so I can dream it again. And I succeeded sometimes. So he would hold me by the hand and run. And of course, being little, he would practically pull me off my feet. And I would go for a long way, you know, swinging through the air. And I called it the high run. So I'd run and say, oh, Alan, give me the high run, you know. And so he'd do that all the way home.
Well, what was she thinking then?
I don't know what she did.
2 steps behind.
But I remember when Elizabeth Delavere became your good friend, I was going to show you. We had an outhouse then back at the alley and a coal shed. And and then we had raspberry bushes and things along the side. And then between the fence and the raspberry bushes would be a little path. Dad would cut the weeds there, but there'd be little stubbles, you know, coming up. And so one time we were coming up, because the lot's kind of long, and I said, I know a new way up to the house. And so I led her on that pathway between the bushes and the fence, and she tripped over some of this stubble and ran a stubble right through her hand, and it stuck out here.
Can you see a scar?
Oh, yes.
I think that's it.
So then they had to call a doctor, and he came to the house. We didn't go to emergency in a hospital in those days. He came to the house, I suppose that same one that delivered us, and stretched her out on the kitchen table and operated and took that out and gave her an anesthetic. All here by himself, without a nurse.
And she didn't pass off, or you don't remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you?
I remember that.
You didn't
do
pass
you?
Off when the doctor was doing it, or?
Didn't he give you an anesthetic?
I suppose he gave me an anesthetic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I remember this Elizabeth Delavere that she said was Belgian that lives next door for a while. Or no, they lived the second house then they bought the next one to us. But they were renting that one first. And she had an older brother, and they had just moved in. And I can remember so well, they came down, you see, they saw the doctor, and they saw the lights, and the doctor come in with his bag, and the kitchen door, it was summer, and the kitchen door was open. She could look right in and see her on the operating room, the doctor, you know. I can remember that so well, because that was something. And then
could you be with the doctor then and see what he was doing?
No, I didn't. I was, outside. Because I was responsible. I caused it. And then
you
Clifford,
were hiding somewhere in
yeah,
the back.
Yeah, well, I don't know. But then Clifford, the youngest one, fell on that. We had that piano box that the upright piano came in. They fixed that for a playhouse for us. And it was out here. And the top part came down because we were little. We could get under anyway. And so we would... Clifford was playing up there once and fell and hit his forehead on the edge down below, and he had to have the doctor come and take stitches in him above his eye.
So when do we all live there?
Yeah, but that's the way the doctors all came to the house in those days.
But you didn't have a doctor's visit. You after this Alan's high flight. I mean, you always came down on.
To fly on my own. I tried on the coal shed. Because it wasn't too high, I could jump down. And I tried flapping my arms as fast as I could, but I didn't. So I was afraid to try it from the house. Oh, I could tell you lots of things, but I won't.
Why was it like that, you think? Somebody gave you this idea, or you got them in your own head? In other words, you fabricated
Your
supernatural
Yeah, I didn't
power.
Know about Leonardo da Vinci
no?
putting his contraption then, no. I was going to walk on the water too.
Oh, you tried that?
But I tried it in the bathtub and it didn't work, so I was afraid to go out to the river.
Well, how about fishing in the Rock River and Mississippi?
Oh, Cecil was the one that liked to fish, this boy. He'd go out there and fish.
But you didn't go with him?
No.
He didn't want any girls with him to be responsible for... He was
no,
afraid you were going
no
to
that was when we were grown, more grown teenagers, you know.
So girls didn't fish then in those days? I mean, take a pole and go down and fish?
Well, I don't know. He went with some other friends. I didn't. We didn't go. By that time, they didn't want any sisters tagging along. But
they were particular about that.
And we had our own girlfriends by that time, and we'd go hiking and doing things.
Mm-hmm. How were the Belgians' families now? Were they, you played the same game as they did then?
The Belgian?
Yeah.
Yeah, they played what we played because we were in the majority, I guess. With these three families, they'd be in the minority with just two of them.
Uh-huh. And then when you came into high school and started to date boys,
mm-hmm.
Did you bring home anybody that the mother didn't approve of, or your dad?
No, I was too particular.
Too particular.
I guess Francis had one that would come and, what was it he played? Work on a crossword or puzzle?
Oh yeah, mom would have a jigsaw puzzle.
Oh yeah,
a jigsaw thing. And when we'd come home from a date, he would work on that a while.
You brought a date in then.
Oh, we had a good time anyway.
Oh, that's the main thing.
And Helen, her love for mountains, she lived in Colorado Springs so many years. Her love for mountains, you better tell him.
Yes.
She took the Bible literally with that.
Oh, no, that was when I was little. I wanted to see a mountain, you know. So I prayed and I said I had faith, you know, because you learn that if you have a faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. So I was going to try that one out. And I prayed for a mountain to be in our front yard when I woke up in the morning. And I ran to the window and no mountain. And then when Jesus said to Peter about walking on the water, you know, he didn't have enough faith, I'd say, I have faith and I have faith. And I'd put my foot in the bathtub and it went clear down to the bottom. And then finally I thought, I'm getting old enough.